very strong memory from my childhood is that of the annual Christmas catalogs, which came in the mail each year sometime around the start of the school year. Are you old enough to recall the ones I'm talking about? JCPenney's, Montgomery Ward's, and Sears. For those not old enough to remember these publications, these particular catalogs held within them the standard fare of clothing and household items, but also had toys, glorious toys of so many types that the imagination just almost couldn't bear the strain of the colorful images in front of it. These catalogs were pure magic, pixie dust on glossy pages, and me and my friends drooled and ogled their contents for months in the hopes that a few things would find their way to our very own family Christmas trees. However, actually getting stuff we wanted, found in those catalogs, proved to be a low percentage affair, something along the lines of a lottery ticket that gets you $5. Even so, year after year those pages provided us with several months of something that was even more memorable than the actual toys. Anticipation. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Nobody knows what anticipation is anymore. Everything is so immediate. Those words were spoken by Joan Jett, she of the Blackhearts and I Love Rock and Roll fame. And those words are quite insightful, as we live in a world that seemingly follows the credo of, I want it now, sooner if possible. Alas, the world was not always wired this way. And there are some patience-forming events and tasks that can provide us with anticipation. Anticipation can be both good and bad. Looking ahead to Christmas, fueled by color photos of the holy grails of the toy world, may have seemed somewhat like torture at the time, but really it was a good thing, because it also fueled our imaginations. But for a kid who has run afoul of a substitute teacher, and has the hours and days until the return of the regular teacher to look forward to, well, anticipation is a bit more grim. As Alfred Hitchcock famously said, there is no terror in the bang, only in the anticipation of it. So, why all this talk of anticipation? Well, a part of it is that we are to a portion of the calendar where I eagerly look forward, anticipation, to several things coming up, ranging from job duties like the Refuge High School float camp to the opening of the fall hunting seasons and several hunts I've spent months planning and dreaming about. To that end, I'd like to suggest to you today that a great many outdoor activities are comprised of three key components: anticipation, preparation, and participation. A lot of folks are keyed in on the doing, the participation, and that kind of factors into our gotta-have-it-now culture. However, all three, in varying measures, are a part of anything you do outdoors, and I would suggest that while the actual doing part is fun, the participation, there can be an immense amount of enjoyment to be had in the other two parts as well. Anticipation and preparation are a huge part of the outdoor experience, don't you think? While it's possible to throw together an outing that's spontaneous and lacking in either preparation or anticipation, such outings are typically pretty short in duration and mighty close to home. If you plan to get away for a bit and do so for a while, preparing will take on a larger role, and to some degree anticipation will be right there every step of the way. For many people, when it comes to hunting or fishing, anticipation is what happens before anything else, and it happens in larger measures. We let ourselves start to think about things we want to do and where we want to go to do them. Some might label this the dreaming stage. But make no mistake about it, if there's even a hint of a chance we can pull it off, it quickly morphs into anticipation. For some, that might be a trip to Hawaii to go scuba diving. For others, well, for example, just the other day I overheard a fellow at the post office talking about having drawn a coveted deer permit for a hunt in the lower 48. Trips like these are always fun to participate in, but there will be mighty amounts of preparation and anticipation that precede that participation. As I think back on my own life of time spent outdoors, many of my most memorable experiences afield have involved a pretty fair amount of anticipation. I'm guessing the same is true for many of you. Sometimes that anticipation builds over a number of weeks or months. Sometimes it even percolates for years at a time. Pike fishing was one such experience for me, though you wouldn't think anything so simple could be so drawn out. I remember at a young age seeing photos in my grandpa's outdoor magazines of fishermen holding up hefty northern pike and thinking, that looked like something I'd like to do. Those pike sure looked exotic and exciting, especially to someone who thought an 8-inch bluegill was a lunker. I thought about pike fishing on and off over the years, and during my junior year of college, I thought I was finally going to hit the jackpot. I got to go on a canoeing trip in the Boundary Waters area of northern Minnesota, a place that has its share of pike. Alas, a week on the water produced exactly one pike, and it was a classmate who caught it. Finally, a few years later, it did all come together in 1992, during my first summer in Alaska. My neighbors, well, hello Liz and George, and the off chance you can hear this, invited me to go along on a trip to their cabin on Lake Clark for the weekend. Within minutes of arrival, I caught my first, and the first of oodles and oodles that weekend. It was a smallish 27-incher that was easily one of the best, most memorable fish I've ever caught. Anticipation will do that to you. I mentioned the upcoming Togiak Refuge High School float camp. The float camp is one job duty I really anticipate every summer. I have been unabashed on this program in the past in discussing how much fun I think float trips are. This camp is a chance to share that fun with area high school students. A true wilderness experience, great fishing, camping, a lot of laughs, phenomenal scenery, and the world's best outdoor classroom. There's a lot to look forward to. I should mention, though, that this is one example where preparation is in lockstep with anticipation. If you're planning to haul 6 teenagers and 2 other adults out to a remote river for a week, it does well to spend a fair amount of time on the preparation phase. Because let me tell you, once you're out there, you're pretty much stuck with whatever you have with you, and a wilderness river really sucks as a place to have an oops, I forgot moment. In the words of eminent inventor Alexander Graham Bell, before anything else, preparation is the key to success. No word on whether Mr. Bell had any experience with wilderness float trips, but he did have experience with teens, having raised 2 daughters. I know some of you have heard me say this before, but I think the preparation element can be especially critical in Alaska. The remoteness and unforgiving nature of many of the places we recreate, added to the weather we are often exposed to, combined to make Alaska dangerous if we're not properly prepared. So anticipation is nice. Well, who doesn't like to let their mind wander to the upcoming moose season, for example? But preparation deserves its complete attention. It's easy enough to joke about making it to a float trip minus a few essentials, but leave the wrong things at home and it can narrow the safety margin more than it needs to be. The point is, take the time to prepare properly, according that phase as much time's needed to be safely ready for the participation part. Some folks really enjoy preparing, others not so much, and endure it as one more thing to do to be able to eventually participate. I don't think of myself as a preparation nut by any means, and no disrespect to those of you that are, but I do embrace it as something I can have fun with while I'm waiting for the outing to happen. For example, I recently decided I wanted to reconsider what broadhead I'll use when I bow hunt this fall. I spent many evenings refining the possibilities on my list, based on my other equipment, company reputation, what I plan to use them for, and performance based on similar experiences by others. My research involved conversations with other hunters about specific broadheads and led me to one that wasn't initially on my list. The next step was to find a good deal on a package of them, which I did on eBay. Obviously, I haven't used them yet, so time will tell if they do what I want them to. I will say I'm very optimistic, and the time spent in researching and finding what I wanted certainly makes me feel more prepared for hunting season. It also fueled a bit of anticipation about using something new. Again, I decided to bring this up today because I think it's something most folks around the area are going through right now, specifically with regards to outdoor activities. In truth, it's likely a never-ending process that continues to plug along through the year, season to season. But with July on the downhill slide, and the various hunting seasons a month or so away, it seemed like a good time to bring it up. Many people will be hunting this fall, just as they do every fall. Because of the nature of hunting up here, it does pay to look ahead and plan before the actual hunting is upon us. Anticipation, preparation, and then, finally, participation. Hunting seasons, or whatever else you choose to apply this to, go by far too rapidly. Take the time to enjoy every step in the process. A form of stopping to smell the roses, I guess. In doing so, I guarantee your overall experience will be greatly enhanced. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.